Acts 21, verse 10. And we want to talk about being in the will of God. And when he, that is Paul, was come, when he, that is a certain prophet named Agabus, when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and his feet. And he said, "Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, "The will of the Lord be done." Well, here the will of God is being revealed to the Apostle Paul. And the will of God that is being revealed to him is that the Apostle Paul would be going to Jerusalem, which he was headed towards Jerusalem. And when he got there, that he would be taken captive. He would be taken prisoner. And he would be in the hands of the Gentile government, the Gentiles. And obviously, the Bible tells us we, that is Luke and all those that were accompanying Apostle Paul, said, "Don't do it, don't do it, don't go, don't do it." And the Apostle Paul said, I'm ready to do God's will. I'm ready for God's will. And if you read the context, he says, "Don't. Why are you trying to break my heart? Encouraging me and pleading with me not to do the will of God." Quite a scene, isn't it? Now, we know from the very day the Apostle Paul was converted, we have the revelation that God had a plan for him. And God's plan, we find, of course, is found in Acts 9, verse 15 and 16. "But the Lord said unto him," speaking of Ananias, "Go thy way, for he," that is Paul, or Saul, "is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." Boy, that part sounds pretty good, doesn't it? "For," verse 16, "I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Now, of course, with the false gospel, the charismatics, which is the wealth, health, and prosperity gospel that permeates Christianity, to think that the will of God would include suffering is a very hard thought for people to comprehend today. Now, not only was it hard in that day, but this is obviously the revelation of the will of God for the Apostle Paul, is that his life was going to be a life of great suffering. He was going to have great privilege. He was going to take the gospel to the Gentiles. He was going to bear it before kings. Yes, he had the great privilege of bearing the gospel to Caesar and his household, and to Felix and Agrippa and other great dignitaries. He had that great privilege. That great privilege was packaged in a package of suffering. Package of suffering. It was the will of God. Now, Paul is on his third missionary journey. Hopefully you figured that out. He's on his third missionary journey, on his way to Jerusalem. And he's now at Troas. And Agabus comes and tells him, and he uses an object lesson. He binds Apostle Paul with the girdle around his waist there, and says, you're going to be bound, and you're going to be delivered into the hands of the Gentiles. And Luke and others try to persuade him against doing the will of God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? That these very godly men actually loved Paul more than God's will. Isn't that really what it was? They loved Paul more than God's will. And they didn't want to see this happen to the Apostle Paul. And they did whatever they could to persuade him not to do God's will. You know, that's very disconcerting when people... I remember when I was in my last semester at the University of Wisconsin, and God had called me to preach, and the different full-time staff, different people from Campus Crusade met with me, and they said, you know, now you shouldn't go to Bible college. You shouldn't be going, don't go to Bible college. You know, you can do a whole lot more for the Lord if you finish your degree here at the university. And then after that's all over, if you want to go to seminary or something, then that'd be fine. And yet I knew it was God's will, you know. But in their mind, that would be unnecessary to make that kind of decision, sacrifice. And it was disconcerting. But here was even more than that. The Apostle Paul was trying to persuade him not to do the will of God. Now, let's be reminded of something. Turn to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Verse 1 and 2. Verse 2, of course, so the last phrase is what we'll start with. It says that she may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, what is it saying? It's saying God's will is good. But you know what? It says that she may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It reminds me of Malachi, when God said to them, bring all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me therewith to see if I'll not pour you out a blessing. Prove me. In other words, you know, you aren't going to be able to say in your own life that the will of God is good and perfect and acceptable until you do it. Until you take the step of faith to go forward, to make that, take that risk to obey Christ, to do what the Word of God, declares you ought to be doing, you won't know it until you do it. Won't know it till you do it. Now, that's a very important truth, isn't it? Think of the people of Israel as they were at Kadesh Barnea. The 12 spies had gone out. They had gone out into the land. They were in the land for 40 days. And of course, 40 in the Bible is the number of testing, isn't it? They were being tested. Their faith was being tested. Their spirituality was being tested. And they all saw, all 12 spies saw the same thing. Same things. And two of them, as a result of what they said, it's a good land, just like God said. A land flowing with milk and honey. Let's go and take it. 10 of the spies. Oh, no. Yeah, it's a good land. Look at this bunch of grapes we brought back. We had to carry it on a pole between two people. I mean, talk about productive land. It is, but I tell you what. It is full of trained soldiers and armies and walled cities and dangerous terrain. And we are inexperienced slaves in military things. We'll never take the land. Now, they failed the test. Because they were doing just like Paul's friends were doing. They were looking at the circumstances instead of looking at what was the will of God. Isn't that amazing? You know, people continually make decisions based on circumstances when they should be making decisions based on what is the will of God. Amen? You know, the will of God's the most important thing, because you know what? The will of God can either change the circumstances, or the will of God will give you the ability to overcome the circumstances. Amen? But you don't make decisions based on the circumstances or the obstacles. You make decisions based on the will of God. Period. You know, I think it was Tyler last week talked about the person that's tossed to and fro. Well, the person that's tossed to and fro is a person who's making decisions based on circumstances, aren't they? Not on the will of God. And so we find this great truth. God says, you know what? I have something in store for Paul. He's going to get thrown in prison. And he's going to be in a Gentile prison. And he's going to fulfill my plan of suffering part of it. And they said, don't do it. Don't you dare do it. Oh, this is foolish. Now, for clarity's sake, let's go to Philippians 1. Now here is 5 years later. Apostle Paul was in the prison at Caesarea for 2 years. Apostle Paul is possibly now 3 years in prison in Rome. 5 years. It's a long time. 5 years he's not out on the missionary trail. 5 years he's not out starting churches. 5 years he's not out strengthening the churches personally. 5 years. Now we know that some other events that about that. But notice what he says. Verse 12. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren of the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word of God without fear. Wow. And so, he says, you know, I know that this is hard for you to understand. You wonder why I'm in jail, how I've been here for so long. And yes, Philippians is saying, you know, I don't think I'm going to die. I think I'm going to win the appeal. And when I do, I'll be with you shortly. But from a human standpoint, it was a waste in many people's eyes. But it was the will of God. And he said about the will of God, it says, the things that have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Now think about the Apostle Paul. You know, he's told that he's going to be bound. He knew he had a lot of enemies in Jerusalem, that he was going to be put under the authority of the Gentiles. And, you know, that was pretty demeaning for a Jew to be put in a Gentile jail. But what was the issue? The real issue was, you see, the Apostle Paul was surrendered to God's will. He was surrendered to God's will. And he says that in Romans 12. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, you might read between the lines, just like me. In fact, someone was telling me that they heard a sermon like this preached in a megachurch. And the megachurch was talking about how great the Apostle Paul was and how this illustrated his life. But missed the whole meaning of it. Whole meaning of it is, that's what you're supposed to do. Not just me, Paul. And so, there was a surrender. He had presented his body. You know, your body includes your mind, your will, your flesh, your whole being. You know, if you give your whole being to God, there's no obstacles to the will of God. They're all surrendered. Not just one little thing. And so he had presented himself to God to do the will of God. That's why when there's announcements made that the will of God would have some hard parts to it, he didn't stumble at it. He didn't stumble at it. One of the great old preachers I got the privilege to hear preaching was Paul Levine. And some people remember that. Miss Leah remembers that, went to Bill Rice Ranch, and Paul Levine would preach. Of course, that was many years ago. Do you remember that?
I never went there.
You never went there? Okay. You're too young. Anyway, I never forget the sermon Paul Levine had. It was on Luke 14 about, and the title was, Why You Don't Want to Be a Disciple of Jesus Christ. And that was the title of a sermon. Why You Don't Want to Be a Disciple of Jesus Christ. And he preached, of course, that you have to deny yourself. And you don't want to do that. And he talked about all of what that meant. Deny yourself. And he said, you wouldn't want to do that. And then he said, then you have to bear your cross. And you wouldn't want to do that. Cross is a symbol of reproach and shame, and you don't want to bear the shame of Christ and the reproach, the scoffing of the world, he says, and you want to do that, you don't want to become a disciple of Christ because you got to count the cost. You got to count the cost, and you have to be willing to forsake anything. And he went through the whole list, whole sermon. And, of course, at the invitation, the aisles were flooded. Young people surrendering their life to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's a great sermon, great opportunity to hear great truth. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. I'm wondering if you're making decisions based on circumstances, or if you're making decisions based on the will of God. The will of God. You know, I think it's pretty good practice. I mean, obviously, the prerequisite has to be made. It says that you can't know the will of God unless you're surrendered. And that's real. And unless you are not conformed to this world. And the word for world is this age. The thinking of this hour. And it says you have to have your mind renewed. Be renewed by the transforming of your mind. And that's making your life be filled with the truth of the Bible. Those are the prerequisites. But you know, a person who's making decisions based on circumstances usually don't fit that. And many times it's the last one that's very obvious by the renewing of their mind. And that is by the truth of the Word of God. Changing your whole thinking. Yeah, that's right, because you know what? The without the Lord, people they make their decisions based on circumstances. But Christians make their decisions based on truth. And they make their decisions based on understanding the Word of God. You know, Israel, instead of being afraid of the Amorites and the dwellers in the land, they should have been afraid of getting out of the will of God. Right? But they're more afraid of the situation than they were of getting out of the will of God. And they got out of the will of God, and they paid a dear price, didn't they? They paid a dear, dear price. Because they were not careful about the will of God. And you know, you can walk out of the will of God very quickly, can't you? Especially if your person is making decisions based on circumstances and not on the Word of God. I tell you what. You need to have You need to know how to read the Bible, study the Bible, read the Bible as for what it really says, not make it say what you want it to say. But God's Word ought to be the leading force in the decisions we make. You know, you folks wouldn't want to be going to Kenya if you didn't have assurance from God's Word, would you? Oh, man. Put your family in harm's way just because you think you should go? Oh, you got to know so. Amen. But on the other hand, wow, could you imagine if you didn't go and it was God's will? This would be harm's way, wouldn't it? Right? This would be harm's way. So we have a very good truth that we need to be reminded about, is that God has a will. And you know, most of the will of God is not subjective. Most of the will of God is right in this book. And when it comes to individual decisions, the principles of this book almost always will guide you to make the right decision. Because this is the revealed will of God. Because even though it might appear like it costs something to do right, in God's will, it will always be the best thing. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, after being in prison for 5 years, he said, the things that have happened unto me have happened under the furtherance of the gospel. Without giving any details, I was thinking just recently of a couple situations. A couple situations that people were asking prayer for, and that prayer wasn't answered. And just the other day, I said, praise the Lord that that prayer wasn't answered. Man, that would have been a terrible thing. And same thing. Difficult situation. Think, oh, boy. Terrible. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If that wouldn't have taken place, then this would easily have taken place. Oh, that would have been really bad. You know, God's will is the best. God's will is the best. And we need to know that we're in God's will. And we need to stay in God's will. And the worst thing that anybody could ever do is get out of God's will. The Bible is full of illustrations of people who've gotten out of the will of God. Praise the Lord, the Apostle Paul wasn't afraid of God's will. Isn't that great? He wasn't afraid of God's will. He was surrendered to God. He surrendered to God's will. He wasn't afraid of going to prison. He wasn't afraid being bound, because we serve a good God. And we serve a God that's bigger than all the circumstances of life. But once we start making the circumstances of life be our deciding factor, that's when we start going against the sovereign working of God. The good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the great truth, the great principles of your word tonight concerning the will of God. And I pray to your mercy that, Lord, everyone, every person, Lord, I know that would certainly be a miracle, that every person would take seriously the issue of what is God's will. We thank you that, Lord, that most of the will of God is clearly revealed in the Word of God. And there's places where principles may have to be applied. We thank you that even your Word, your Holy Spirit, can use your Word to take those principles as we're honest with you. And I pray that you will put the fear of the Lord in the hearts, the fear of the Lord of people missing God's will or making decisions that will take them out of God's will. And then, Lord, help us not to be afraid of God's will. Help us to realize that, Lord, your will is so great and it is so perfect that we should never judge it by what it would cost us, but by how great you are and what you're trying to accomplish. So encourage your people, even tonight while our heads are bowed. Maybe the Lord is just pricking your heart to once again surrender to the will of God. Maybe in your heart you just need to say, yes, Lord, Lord, I will do the will of God. Lord, I will do your will. I'll not do my will. I'll not go my way. I'll make my decisions based on the Word of God and make sure that I get decisions led by clear teaching from God's Word. And maybe that's the decision you need to make tonight. Maybe you've made it privately, but maybe you really need to seal that thing. And just by a lifted hand say, you know, I'm just making that a public decision. And Pastor, pray with me in that. Anyone here tonight? Okay, praise God. Okay, amen. Amen, good. Lord, now take, Lord, these truths. May your Holy Spirit use them. Accomplish your will. May it be a part of the little step of the process of finding and delighting in the will of God for your people. In Jesus' name, amen.